Let me go. I got two things I want to mention. Oh, I have an outline. Don, come on back up. I have an outline for tonight. You will notice I'm trying to take care of you with these outlines. I really am. If this seems kind of dull to you tonight, on the back there's a dot to dot. So just for you to be aware, if it gets a little slow to you and you're thinking, man, I'm about to die here. I need something to make me entertained. There it is. But don't get used to this, okay? But there's a dot to dot on the back of the outline. If you don't know your numbers, though, you're going to find that to be challenging, too. The other thing is, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church there in Moorhead City, that's downtown. If you're heading down Arendelle Street, that's not how you pronounce it. But if you're heading downtown, it's on your left, and it's got a sign out front that says First Presbyterian Church. At 7 o'clock in their Family Life Center, the Carteret Community Sunshine Band, in which I am a player thereof, a back row guy, we're going to be playing our Christmas concert. It is a fundraiser for one of the hospice organizations in town. But y'all are welcome to come out. Well, I'm not going to ask Cheryl to take roll or anything. But if you come out, I'll try to pick you out of the crowd and try not to embarrass you would be the other thing. No guarantees on the not embarrassing you, though. All righty. Take your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke. That's the use the force, Luke. Luke, use the force. Okay. And then Tammy's favorite character in the movie, the guy dressed in black. The force is strong with this one. Okay. She loves Darth Vader. I wanted to get her a Darth Vader nightlight for the bedroom. For the middle of the night, if she woke up, she could look up and, you know, life-size one, like a big helmet. Yeah. Motion activated. If anybody moves, it does that breathing sound. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, buddy. And if I did that, I would be looking for a place to live. Keep open, baby. I don't think you're going to get any takers. All righty. We're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 20. We're going to do them a little bit at a time. Have you noticed out in front of our sanctuary building on the side that faces the street, we've got a nativity scene? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed new creatures out there this year? Yeah, we got two chickens out there. To go with the cat that showed up last year. Apparently Joe fed the cat because he hadn't gone away. And that's what happens when you feed them. They stay. But that's a neat nativity scene. Joe did a great job on that. And I'm sure he had some help on it. But that is a really cool thing that he's done. There was a survey done to see which character from the Advent account most people identified with. By show of hands, how many of you think that Mary was the most popular? Raise your hand. How many of you think that Joseph was the most popular? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you think the wise guys were the most popular? Okay. Anybody, although he's not out there, anybody for Herod, you know, the king? No, he's not all that popular. Although some people would probably find him to be a hero, but he's not that popular. You know who's the most popular character in the Advent scene? Oh no, not even the baby Jesus. Shepherds. The shepherds were. They were the most popular people. That was the one that most people identified with, was the shepherds. Now, most of us are pretty comfortable with the Christmas account and, as we would say, the Christmas story. And maybe we're so familiar that it's become, you know, kind of part fable, part legends in our mind. Some people just kind of skim along on a superficial level, and they're counting down remaining shopping days, and they're stressing about all the things they have to do, and they neglect the nativity scene. Yes, ma'am. Oh, she's Grace finished.
There's several errors in this. Where did I get this wrong? There's 234, and then it looks like Pikachu with a dress.
Tammy Carroll, would you talk to your child?
I'm saying the same thing, so call me too.
I didn't do it. I just got it off the interwebs. Google Images. Yeah, the interwebs. We have one good child among the Carroll children in the room today. She's paying attention. Yeah. For those of you who were not yet looking at it, you're looking at it now, aren't you? All right. Straighten up. Okay. Pay attention. Don't expect a dot-to-dot next week. I'm just saying, okay? Sometimes we get legend and truth mixed up when it comes to the nativity scene. I still remember about a young man who once asked after a teaching on the Christmas account where the little boy with the drum was. And I'm not, this is not a preacher story, you know, where sometimes they're not necessarily accurate. This was a real live kid who asked that real live question, where's the little boy with the drum? And sometimes we follow along more on what myth says than we do on what truth says. For instance, we have already determined in our mind that there were three wise men. Three. Does Scripture tell us how many there were? Does a song tell us how many there were? Yeah, yeah. So sometimes we got to be careful on what's true and what's legend, what's myth. Kind of this whole thing with the being so familiar with the Christmas thing reminds me of a little girl who misquoted John 3:16. She says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only forgotten Son." And the world today has kind of done that, haven't they? I mean, Christmas is all fine and dandy, but we've lost what the real meaning is all about. We have lost the Son. He has become the forgotten Son. I find it interesting that God chose to send His birth announcement. The birth announcement about His Son, the Savior of the world, He sends it to shepherds. Of all the people in the world to send it to, He sends it to shepherds. Now, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 doesn't tell us much about who these guys were. There's no names given. There's no detailed descriptions given. It just says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. That's all we get about them. Throughout history of Israel, shepherding was a noble profession. Abel was the first one to have this job. He was followed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and, of course, David. And God calls Himself a shepherd, and we are compared to sheep, which isn't a compliment, by the way. Sheep were not the brightest animals are not the brightest animals on the face of the earth, and sometimes we are not the brightest things either. By the time we come to the first century, though, shepherding has gone from being a noble profession to a bunch of despised people. Shepherds made up the lowest class of people, coming in just ahead of lepers. In the Talmud, which was a collection of interpretations and insight from the rabbis, who weren't necessarily all that wise, we read these words, "No help is to be given to heathen or shepherds." Now, that's what the rabbis felt about them. In order to understand how unusual it was to have angels appear to these lowly shepherds, I want us to learn a few things about him. First thing, they were considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend any religious service. They were unable to go to the temple, to the synagogue. They weren't allowed to be there because it was considered ceremonially unclean. They were isolated and forgotten. Because their flocks needed to move around to find new grass and fresh water, they never stayed in one place for very long. They were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing from others and would often confuse thine with mine. You know, they would get it confused. Is this really your sheep? I thought it was my sheep. Oh, my mistake. Their testimony was never even allowed in court because they were so unreliable. They were known to be vulgar and violent. Living out in the fields away from society made them unappealing to most people. Most of them, it's said that they had foul mouths and they were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. But yet, God chose to announce the birth of His Son to the shepherds. To the shepherds. It'd be kind of like this. Back on May 6, 2019, over across the pond, Prince Harry and Meghan had their baby. Remember his name? Archie. Now, he's not as popular as when the other prince, Prince William and what's her name, had their first child. But still, the world awaited for the news, the arrival of this new royal child. Now, when this little boy was born, just imagine that instead of all the media attention and birth announcements to presidents and heads of state, just imagine the news of his birth was delivered only to dock workers unloading cargo in the middle of the night. That's kind of how this would relate to today. God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of shepherds. But if you think about it, this isn't so unusual, is it? God has always worked wonders for the forgotten, for the despised, and for the lowly. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and were humble. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 through 13 says this, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus reached out to sinners like Zacchaeus and Levi. He reached out to prostitutes and the demon-possessed, and he reached out to strangers and Samaritans. He did in his ministry what the Father did in a borrowed stable when the lowly shepherds looked at the Lord, you know, when the cattle were lowing right there. Mary captured this in her song recorded in Luke chapter 1, verse 52. It says, "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly." He still does that same thing today. He exalts the lowly. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. It says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Now, scripture tells us there in Luke that it doesn't say this. It doesn't say, "Now there were in the same region scribes keeping watch over their scrolls at night." You would kind of think if God was going to announce something like that, you know, that he would go to the smart people, the leaders of the people, to announce it. But the Lord comes to the lowly, the most undeserving, to the neglected and the marginalized in order to show his power. The shepherds help us see that God has a message for sinners just like us. The shepherds help us to see that everyone matters to God. Everybody. Even those that don't matter to us matter to God. The only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcasts. There's a song, a Christmas song, and one of the lines in the song says, "What a strange way to save the world." And this is true. As we briefly look at the shepherd's response, we'll see some lessons that we can apply to our own lives so that we don't forget the Son this season. So what was the shepherd's response? I'm glad you asked. Number one, they were attentive. They were attentive. The first thing we see about the shepherds is that they were attentive to their jobs. Listen again to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were so committed to their career that they never left their work. They not only worked the third shift, but they also pulled the first shift and second shift as well. It was a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week job for them. We also see from this verse that they were faithful, since they were keeping watch. They didn't just send them out to the field and tell the old sheep, "Listen, y'all behave. I'll be back later." No, they're keeping watch. As often as it is the case, the different flocks would come together at night and they'd all come into the same fold or the same pen. And one of the shepherds would literally lie across the entrance to make sure that none of the sheep would get out. No predators would get in. Kind of gives us a new meaning to John chapter 10 verse 9 when Jesus said, "I am the door," or he says, "I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Notice that God came to those who were attentive at their jobs, the jobs that they were given to do. They weren't slackers, and he met them right where they were. In the same way, whatever God has called you to do, be attentive to that and do it with excellence. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men." You may be thinking that God doesn't even know you exist. And if he does, somehow he's mad at you. You know, "That's sorry, Don. I've had all that boy I can stand." You know, that's not the case. That's not the case. You are not insignificant to our Heavenly Father. And God will meet you right where you are. Yes, he will. Just how you are. But listen, he loves you too much to leave you how you are. He wants you to change and become more and more like Jesus. But listen, you don't have to clean yourself up on your own or act like somebody you're not. If you smell like a shepherd, which is not good, let Jesus wash you up. If your sins are wiping you out, allow Jesus to lift you up. Heaven chooses to bring a message to the messed up, to the low achievers as well as the high achievers. You were created in the image of God as an original masterpiece, and the signature of the Creator is inscribed on your soul. Be attentive. The second thing is the shepherds awed. While they were being attentive to the responsibilities they were given, they're suddenly awed by an angelic announcement in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly terrified." I think "greatly terrified" was probably an understatement. I think they were scared to death. I can't imagine being a shepherd out in the field and you just, you know, watching your sheep and making sure something, you know, somebody doesn't come steal one or some animal doesn't attack one. And all of a sudden there's this great mighty angel there in front of you. Man, I'd have probably passed smooth out. Listen, God meets us where we are and then he brings us to our knees. God's glory lights up the sky and causes them to quake in their sandals. Whenever we come face to face with God's holiness, we fall apart because of our sinfulness. Peter had this response in Luke chapter 5 verse 8. It says, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." When we really get a glimpse of who he is, we begin to get a glimpse of who we are, and we realize how far we are from what we need to be. And Peter got that. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Now, these shepherds could also have been terrified because they didn't know if this was an angel of judgment or an angel of blessing. Perhaps he'd been sent to pay back for their crude jokes, for their dishonesty, for their bad language, for their sticky fingers. Maybe he's come to deal with them. Maybe their sins were catching up with them, and now they're going to be vaporized, and they're gone. Whatever the case, they were in awe, and it would take a lot for these tough guys to be terrified. I wonder, when was the last time you were in awe? When was the last time you marveled at the Messiah? Has it been a while since you hit your knees before him? Number three, the shepherds accepted. They accepted. These attentive shepherds are filled with awe, and now they accept the message of the good news of great joy in Luke chapter 2. Look at verses 10 through 15. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the shepherds had gone away, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." The angels calm them down, most of the time if you hear of an angel showing up, one of the first things they say is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Calm down." And the angel tells them that he's bringing good tidings. He's bringing good news of acceptance and forgiveness and hope. We would have a lot to fear if Christmas never happened. This is literally the word which we, evangelize. This is good news of great joy. The Greek word here is mega, which means exceedingly big, huge, large, could even mean loud and mighty. Great joy. Joyless faith in Jesus, I think, is a contradiction in terms. You ever thought about that? I believe Jesus saved me from eternal hell. He saved me from my sin. And I'm just miserable about it. Doesn't make any sense at all. Now, the angel said this message is for all people, but I want you to notice in verse 11, the angel says the word "you" as well. It's for the whole world, but it must also become deeply personal. After getting some more specifics, a whole regiment of rejoicing warrior angels fills the sky, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Or as the New International Version puts it, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Listen, if it wasn't scary enough for one angel to show up, just imagine the whole sky full of them. I'll bet these guys were sure enough afraid. But the angels bring good news, not words of judgment, but words of blessing. And we know that they accepted this message because in verse 15 it says, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see." I just can't picture the angels looking at each other and say, "Gentlemen, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has been told to us. Man, I bet they were excited. I can hear them now. Come on, boys, let's go. Let's go check this thing out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So it just kind of begs the question, have you accepted the message, and have you allowed the word of God to work in you? God's good news is a gift that must be received if you want it to work in your life. As long as you stand and look at it, or just listen to it, but you never put it in your hands, you never receive it, can't do you any good. The offer is there, and it's a free gift, but until you lay hands on that gift, it's not your gift. It's just offered to you. God's good news is a gift that must be received if you want it to be at work in your life. So, number four, the shepherds acted. The shepherds didn't just accept and enjoy the message. They didn't just sit around the campfire telling angel stories. They acted on it. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 16. "And they came with haste." In other words, they ran and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And this is pretty amazing in itself, because shepherds normally didn't do anything quickly. They were used to just kind of patiently moving their sheep along from pasture to pasture, from water source to water source. But the Bible is clear that acceptance must lead to action. Action. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." It's dead. They could have doubted, they could have delayed, but instead they decided to act and they moved. They headed out. You see, they went and they saw. They took off for Bethlehem. They wanted to see the baby with their own eyes. A baby born in a smelly stable wouldn't have been a problem to men who were used to the odor of sheep. I could just picture, you know, if the angel did show up to the scribes who were keeping watch over their scrolls at night, and the angel told them, "Listen, there's this baby, he's been born. He's in a stable out in Bethlehem." And I can picture the scribes looking at each other and saying, "I don't know, stables, they smell bad. I don't know if I want anything to do with that. Now, thank you for showing up, but I think I'll pass." Now, the shepherds didn't have a problem with where this baby was born. I want you to check out kind of the irony of this too. Unclean shepherds come to a smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying on a bed of hay. Just doesn't seem to make sense. I'm still thinking, if I was going to be sending my son to be the Savior of the world, I'd have picked a palace. I'd have picked a nice, clean place. I don't know that I would have picked a stable where he's going to be laying on a bed of hay. Some commentators, and I don't know if I put a whole lot of stock in this, but it could be true. Some commentators point out the possibility that these shepherds were taking care of sheep that were going to be sacrificed in Jerusalem's temple. Could be the case. But if that was the case, it's no accident that they leave their sheep behind to visit the Lamb of God, who would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. 1,000 years earlier, David kept watch over his father's sheep in the same pasture, and now they see the son of David born in the city of David. So they went and they saw. They left. Then they left and they shared. They didn't pull up a bale of hay and make themselves comfortable. They didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they were now the managers of the message. Notice that the message they shared had nothing to do with seeing amazing angels, and there's no reference to, you know, Mary's magnificence or Joseph's job. They came to see him, Jesus, and now they head out to announce. They head out to tell the good news. Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. The word known there means to make known in such a way that people can understand. They take this message and they take it to people in a way that could be understood. Listen, we're here today because they couldn't keep quiet. They told somebody who told somebody who kept telling somebody until somebody finally told us. We have received the same message. In what area is God calling you to some action? It's not enough just to say you have faith or to feel good about something. There comes a time that after seeing, we must be involved in sharing. So where is it that God is calling you into some action? Next, the shepherds adored. They adored. What's really neat here is that the shepherds went back to their same boring jobs, but they weren't the same on the inside. They returned to where they started and were attentive again. They got back to work. Notice that they didn't write a book. They didn't go out on a speaking tour. They didn't launch a ministry called a Shepherd Story. They got back to work. But I just imagine other shepherds they came in contact with, they told them what happened. And these other shepherds told other people what happened. And they told other people what happened. And that's how the message of the birth of Christ made it around. Those that knew told. They told. After Christmas, we have to go back to the same routine, but now we can do so with rejoicing. We are to rejoice right where we are. It is possible to have joy in our jobs, even if they're terrible jobs. Even if you have to deal with the public. And the public is not always nice. Many of you have had the opportunity to work either in retail or customer service or something like that. And people aren't always nice, are they? In fact, you get them in a hurry because of Christmas season and they get less and less nice. You put a little pressure on them and they get less nice. But the Bible says we're to rejoice right where we are. Right where we are. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 20. Then the shepherds returned. They went back to their work. They went back to work. Back to their jobs. But they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They don't just wonder about what they saw. They worship Him who they saw. They didn't just go start telling stories. Well, I wonder if that was really an angel or not. Well, I remember back when I was a kid, my daddy said I was an angel. You know, all that kind of stuff. Listen, a clear evidence of conversion is always adoration. It's always adoration. Someone has observed that many of us worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. And it's so sadly true so often. When a person is genuinely converted, he or she will praise God. Allow yourself this Christmas season to adore Emmanuel as you glorify and praise Him for all that you've seen and heard. You can return to the same place tomorrow, but not as the same person. Do you want to take on the role of shepherds? Or will you just plant yourself like a tree and be as unmovable as a rock? The shepherds were changed forever by what they saw, and you can be as well if you follow their example. Be attentive to what God has called you to do. Be awed by God's message to you. Accept the gift of the good news and act on what you know to be true and adore Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Y'all ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? I think all of you probably have. She said this once. If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. Still be lost. It's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in you. It's time today to make sure that Jesus is born in those that you love. Be like the shepherds. Tell the good news. Tell them what Jesus has done for you.